You'd enjoy some spoken word entertainment here on CITR 101.9 FM.
I'm going away. Look into my eyes. The last Sunday of every month from 11 to 5. Won't you hear with me?
Wheaties presents Dimension X.
Adventures in time and space. Transcribed in future tense.
Dimension X. On stage tonight, Dimension X. Another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations.
If you're a mother or a father with a warm spot in your heart for pink-cheeked, happy-eyed youngsters, here's something you should know. Good food builds good health, and Wheaties are good food. Now, I don't know what you've been doing about breakfast for the kids, but did you know that every Wheaties flake is a kernel of wheat? With the sunny, whole-hearted goodness of field-grown wheat in every flake? With the full strength of whole wheat vitamins, minerals, proteins in every flake? Well, it's true. Whole wheat in all its richness. That's what you furnish when you fill the cereal bowl with Wheaties. But don't slip up. See that they get Wheaties. Crisp, sunshiny, good. Pour on the milk, put on the fruit, and know the youngsters are getting all that whole wheat can give. Do that now. Wheaties. Breakfast of champions.
Now, tonight's adventure into the unknown, into the world of Dimension X. Somewhere in Europe, a man is walking through the darkness down a cobblestone street. It's early evening still, only a little past eight, but the street is strangely deserted. He pauses, looks behind him, then knocks quietly on a door.
Yes?
Is Engineer Wensler in?
What is it, please?
Mrs. Wensler?
Yes.
I'm selling brushes. We have a nice line of brooms. They sweep well.
Do they sweep the little or the large?
Both. They're especially fine for the large.
Come in. What cell are you in?
I'm not with the underground. I'm an American, newspaper correspondent. It's all right. Chief Nine said I should see your husband. He gave me the password. Look, you know the Americans are on your side.
Well, I don't know. My husband is not home at the moment. If I...
Ava, who is it?
Someone to see Alan, Father.
Oh.
My father-in-law knows nothing. Don't see anything which might disturb him.
Okay.
You wish to see my son, Mr...
Arnold. Yes, a friend asked me to look him up.
Mr. Arnold is an American correspondent, Father.
Oh, an American. It is not often I have had the chance to talk to an American these days.
Things have changed, haven't they?
Yes, these last few years, we have been out of touch with the world. I was working in my laboratory, Mr. Arnold. Would you care to come in while you wait for my son?
Father... Not the laboratory.
Oh, Ava, we cannot ask our guest to sit alone in the library. And besides, I would like to talk. Huh? This way, please.
Thank you.
Mr. Arnold, I know nothing of politics. My only interest is science. Come, I will show you what we are doing. A most interesting experiment. Really, very interesting.
Oh, Dr. Winsler.
Oh, this is Dr. Erickson, my associate. Dr. Erickson, Mr. Arnold.
An American.
Yes.
Dr. Winsler, is it advisable to allow strangers in the laboratory?
Oh, Mr. Arnold, it's my son's friend.
Dr. Winsler, you will recall that the last directive...
It has no bearing on the work we are doing. Our experiment is in the field of pure science. It has no military application.
But the directive said...
Dr. Erickson... May I remind you that I am still in charge of this laboratory.
Very well. If you will excuse me, I want to test a new diatomic deadline.
I'll do that.
Sorry, Dr. Wensler. I'm afraid your friend Erickson doesn't like my looks.
Oh, no. It's not that. It's just that he's worried. He's worried for me. Afraid that someone will misinterpret your visit and report me to the authorities. He's my most loyal and trusted assistant. But he tends to exaggerate the danger.
Well, I hope you're right, Doctor. Say, this is some setup you've got here. That 10-foot plastic cylinder, what's that for?
Every experiment must have a focal point, and that transparent cylinder is ours.
Mm-hmm.
The objects upon which we wish to work are placed inside and brought under the catalyzed beam over here.
Eva!
That's Alan now. Excuse me, I go and tell him.
What is this experiment you're working on, Dr. Wensler?
A very interesting new problem. You say you're not a physicist or engineer, Mr. Arnold?
No, I'm not, but I can follow you, if that's what you mean.
Yes. Well, we have been working with the problem of subatomic particles. Now, in attempting to manipulate them, to bring them closer to each other, we have discovered that we can shrink objects. Reduce them in size.
Well, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. How much can you reduce them? Half size?
Oh, much more. We can make objects become microscopic and still retain their characteristics.
Doesn't seem possible.
We can make them even smaller. Much smaller. Theoretically, in fact, down to atomic dimensions.
Well, as I said before, I'm no expert, Dr. Wensler, but tell me, what's the point? What good does it do to shrink anything down to that size?
You do not understand. Man has never actually seen an atom. But if we can reduce a camera and recording instruments to the atom size, then we would know the secrets of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, there you are, Mr. Arnold.
Oh, hello, Alan.
You can't be interested in this. Why don't we go into the study and talk?
But Mr. Arnold is interested.
Well, sir, maybe I'd better talk to Alan at that.
Excuse me, Dr. Wensler.
Yes?
I mean to ask you if you think you can get along without me for a few minutes. There's something I must do. It's important.
Yes. So long as it will not take too much time.
No, it
fine.
Won't take me long. It has been a pleasure, Mr. Arnold. I shall see you soon, I hope.
Yeah, sure. Okay, Alan, let's go talk.
Your credentials seem to be in order, Mr. Arnold. I talked to our chief after Eva explained why you were here. I don't agree with him.
Alan, you think the chief of your cell would have let me come here if he didn't think I was trustworthy and could help?
I know, but...
Public opinion can't be marshaled overnight, you know. Not even in America. Suppose the revolution is successful.
It will be.
All right, your only chance to make it stick will be in recognition by our government. And immediate help. Now, my stories can do a lot to lay the foundation for that. And with the date of the uprising so near...
You know too much, Mr. Arnold, if this should leak to the secret police.
Don't worry about it. It's my neck as much as yours.
Hmm. What do you think, Eva?
Chief Nine said he was to be given the fullest cooperation.
Very well, then. What do you want to know?
Question one. What makes you think this revolution really has a chance? You can't fight tanks and guns with just your bare hands.
Mr. Arnold, we believe the Wensler machine can solve our biggest problem.
What's that?
How to collect arms without being attacked by the secret police.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see.
Now, suppose we could reduce all our equipment. Electronic guns, ray gas, anti-tank blaster. Anything which could be brought in unassembled. Reduce it to so small a size that a woman's handbag could hold enough to equip a regiment. You see what that would mean?
Yeah, sure. No one would think of looking for a cannon and...
Precisely. But Father's machine and the cylinder were necessary for the reduction. That's why our supply depot is right here.
Here?
Yes. When the day arrives, we'll enlarge the arms and pass them out.
Yes, but where's the stuff now?
Eva.
Yeah.
Please get me that model from the mantel.
Oh, of course. Here you are.
Take a look at this, Mr. Arnold.
Well, that's a model of an anti-tank blaster, complete to every detail.
Not a model, Mr. Arnold. This is an anti-tank gun. Reduced in the cylinder by the Wensler process. At the proper time, we shall enlarge it, wheel it out through the garage, and set it up. When the men assemble, we pass out the rest of the arms, and we have our revolution. A division of men properly armed can take the city.
Let's get back to the laboratory. Father will think it odd that we have been gone so long.
Oh,
Oh, I was wondering where you were. I don't know what's keeping Erickson. He should have been back long ago. I need some help on this circuit
here. Of course, Father. What are you doing?
Erickson, I have amplified the effect by putting another diatomic catalyzer into phase. I want to give a test run, Alan, if you will bring one of the animals from the cage.
Yes, Father.
Animals?
Yes, we are experimenting now with the reduction of living animals, guinea pigs.
How does it work?
Those we diminish to microscopic size return unharmed. But those sent down to the atomic dimension, the cylinder returns. But there's nothing inside, nothing.
So, Dr. Winslow, have you ever tried it on a human being?
I tried to persuade Father to send me down to find out what's making the animals vanish.
No, Alan.
But, Father, we've installed high-frequency radio communication now. If anything started to go wrong with me, I could tell you in time to reverse the process.
No, I will never permit it.
All right. Guinea pigs it is, then. But someday, Father, I... Yes, dear?
Come to the window.
What is it?
That man, the one in the raincoat. He has been standing in that doorway across the street ever since I looked out the window.
What of it?
I don't like it, Alan. He has been standing there just looking at our house.
Oh?
Alan, do you think it is?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Eva?
Yes?
You know what we planned in this eventuality.
Yes.
Get the arms and the provisions. We can't afford to take a chance.
All right, Alan.
Now, what is it, my son? What is it?
Father. It's better for you not to know too much, but I'm a member of the underground.
No.
Eva, too. We have... Well, we have some contraband hidden in the house. We'll have to put it in the cylinder.
Contraband? What do you mean?
Arms, Father. Arms and provisions for an army reduced to 140 its size.
Alan!
Yes, we must put them in the cylinder and warm up the machine. If it is the secret police, we'll make the arms invisible, microscopic in size.
Can I help?
If you wish, Mr. Arnold, you can help my wife get the supplies.
Okay.
Alan!
What is it, Eva?
The corner. They're full of men.
That changes matters. Father, you'll have to operate the machine yourself. Eva and I are getting into the cylinder.
No, Alan, you can't. It's too dangerous.
It's the only way, Father. Those are the secret police.
Dimension X will continue in just a moment.
Tomorrow morning, get up and get at 'em with Wheaties to help. Now, does that sound as if I just made it up? Well, listen, folks, it's real. It's so. If you'll pour the Wheaties into a bowl tomorrow morning, if you'll pour on cold milk and put on the fruit you like best, if you'll do these things, you can honestly feel a difference all morning long. And here's why. Every golden Wheaties flake, every flake is made from a grain of wheat. That's why every flake of Wheaties gives you full whole wheat vitamins and minerals and the amazing energy you'll notice still with you by 11 in the morning. You simply cannot miss, because it's a fact. You do better by yourself on a better breakfast. Whatever your job, if you'll start the morning with a reasonable meal, you should find yourself working better, feeling better, even looking better all morning long. Yep, 7 o'clock Wheaties, 11 o'clock, still feeling good and working happy. You try it now. Not somebody else, but you. You may be pounding a rug or pounding a typewriter tomorrow morning at 11. You may be driving a tractor or driving a bargain. But you're going to feel the difference with Breakfast of Champions tucked inside. You try it. Really now. See how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
Catalyzer ready?
Ready. Set at 0.034.
Good. All right, Eva. Get in the cylinder.
Alan, I can't let you take the chance, Alan. Isn't it enough to make the supplies disappear?
Not for the secret police. They must know something, otherwise they wouldn't be here.
But how could they prove anything?
No, Father. Every man has his breaking point. And I can't afford to gamble with the lives of others. I don't know how I'd react on the torture.
Torture?
Oh, Father, you are naive. But don't worry, you'll be safe. Everyone knows you aren't interested in politics. And Mr. Arnold is an American. Perhaps that will protect him.
They're coming now.
Oh, my son, what have you done?
There's no time for recriminations now, Father. I'm getting in with Eva. Arnold, will you help my father with the machine?
And after?
Yes, I'll do whatever I can.
Thank you. Now,
Take us down to sub-microscopic size.
Yes.
Hold us down until the police have gone. Tell them we've left. They won't dare meddle with the machine. Tell them it will mean death to anyone who gets in the way of the beam. When they're gone, bring us back up. I'll maintain radio silence until I hear from you.
Very well, my son.
There they are. The machine's warmed up. Move over, Ava. I'm coming in.
Let me...
I've switched on the radio. If you can hear me, secure the porthole, Arnold.
Okay, we hear you. Porthole secure.
Ready, Father?
Yes. Are the oxygen vent tanks all right?
Ava? Yes.
They're breaking down the door.
Atomic setting 034. Preliminary release. Temperature?
27 degrees centigrade. 760 millimeters pressure. Hurry, Father.
Very well. No. Ray count.
Alpha 4, beta 16, gamma 0.12, temperature 30 centigrade, pressure 1100.
Be careful.
Holy mackerel, the cylinder's only 3 feet high. Oh.
Open that door.
Temperature 36, pressure 1800.
It's getting too high. I can't do it. Stand by to reverse.
No. The temperature and pressure show signs of stabilizing. Now 38 and 2000. Make setting at angstrom 5, 10 times to the third.
That's a small...
We can't afford to take chances.
Only 3 inches high.
It's all right, Father. Temperature and pressure beginning to drop.
Thank God.
A half inch high.
Oh, they're coming. They're coming.
Goodbye, Father. God bless you. Son. If anything happens, it isn't your fault. Remember, this is my doing. Ava, switch off.
Jan, Anton.
Yes, sir.
Leave those men.
Yes, come on.
Stop. Don't come. Come near the beam. No, this machine is in operation and can kill anyone coming within range.
Shut off that machine.
The machine cannot be shut off until it reaches nadir. A sudden reversal would cause an explosion and take us all with it.
You there. Who are you?
Who, me? Just a friend of the family.
Arrest him?
Now, get your hands off me. Let go of me.
Now, Dr. Wenzler, your son and his wife... Where are they? Answer me, you old fool.
They
left a few minutes before you came.
Left? Jan, I told you to watch all the exits.
We did, Commander. Mouse could not have escaped. I swear it by the leader.
They are not here. You. What do you know of this?
I told you they left some time ago.
Keep an eye on them. And keep away from that machine. Jan.
Yes, sir.
Send out a general alarm.
Yes, Commander.
Dr. Wenzler, yes. Who are your son's friends?
Please. Commander, let me finish my experiment. I know nothing about my son's activities or his friends. I swear it. I know nothing about politics.
So?
I must stay here until this experiment is finished. It is too dangerous to be left unattended.
Very well. I'll take the American to headquarters. The rest of you... Search the house.
Look here, I'm an American citizen. I demand...
Erickson!
Yes, my dear Wenzler. Have you found him, Commander?
Erickson. You have betrayed me.
I am a member of the League of Loyal Scientists. Your son is the traitor, not I. Have you found him, Commander?
No. We have searched the house. Nothing. They swear the son and his wife escaped before we arrived.
That is ridiculous. They were here when I left. People do not vanish into thin air...
Then where are they?
Right under your nose, Commander.
What?
They're in the cylinder, of course, under the beam there. That is the only place they could be. Allow me to handle the controls. You shall have your prisoners in 5 minutes.
I see. Very clever, Dr. Wenzler. Very clever. All right, Erickson. You take charge of the machine.
You spy, you traitor.
Don't let him touch that dial. Oh, grab him.
You won't. You. There.
He has set it for subatomic dimension.
What does that mean?
Whatever is in that cylinder has become as small as the atom.
Then shut it off!
It has almost reached nadir. We must wait 10 seconds, then reverse polarities. The machine has reached nadir. Angstrom 10 to the minus 11. We must now wait 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4...
What's the matter, Alan?
I don't know. Something must have gone wrong.
Alan, look out there.
Why, it's the solar system.
It's coming at us so fast. Look, the sun.
The sun? No, that can't be. Ava, that's the nucleus of an atom. We've reached the subatomic dimension. That sun is the nucleus, and those planets are the electrons revolving about it.
And that planet coming up at us, there on the other side of the sun, the nucleus, is...
An electron. It's growing in size. We're heading straight for it.
They're coming down on it. They are going to land.
I guess we finally reached the Nadir. We haven't shrunk for the past 2 or 3 hours.
Where are we?
I don't know. Somewhere in a valley between the mountains of a huge electronic range.
It's almost funny, resting on the surface of an electron.
Look. The soil under the floor of the cylinder.
It looks like vegetation.
Yes. Moss. Lichen. That's the last of the air. I've been expecting it to go out for the past 2 days. We have, perhaps, a half hour more. Ava, dearest.
I know.
There is one chance. That vegetation, that means there must be some sort of atmosphere on this electronic planet. We have to take that chance. Ava, are you willing to step out of the cylinder with me?
Of course, my dearest. For whither thou goest, I will go. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will...
We haven't much time. Ready?
Ready. All right. Open the portal.
Seven, eight, nine, ten. All right, 10 seconds. I shall now reverse polarity.
I see something.
The cylinder?
Yes, there it is. Just a few seconds more and it will become normal size.
A foot high.
Keep that man quiet. Ah, it grows very rapidly.
Yes. 3 feet high. 4.
There you are, Commander. And in a moment, you will see your prisoners.
Get the door open.
Yes, sir. There is no door, my Commander.
No door? Erickson...
But there must be.
No, sir. Nothing but a gas valve.
You are right. Nothing but violet gas.
That's impossible.
Where are your son and his wife?
We told you they left the house some time ago.
That is a lie. Where are they?
I do not know.
Erickson... Open that valve.
But the gas may be poisonous.
We shall see. Open the valve. Very slightly. What is that?
I don't know. I seem to hear music inside my head.
So did I.
Apparently the gas produces auditory hallucinations.
Open the valve again. Careful.
The people of peace greet the great scientist, the omnipotent, the maker of all.
I thought I had a voice.
So
this
did I.
This is the law of our people, laid down by our first father 10 million years ago. That always and ever there be this record of our race. For it is told that thou, in the fruitfulness of time, shall take back unto thee this ark, like unto that cylinder in which the first father and mother of us all came unto us.
I don't understand.
I am the last of our race, and the sun is cold and desolation is upon the face of our planet. But in our time there was majesty and joy, and the gleaning of the fruits of the soil. For we have been the people of peace, and life was bountiful for generations, until that day came when in thy everlasting wisdom thou didst decree the end of all. Though there were some who wept, we did not query why. For we have been a happy race. We have followed the law of the first father, Alan, and of the great mother, Eva.
No.
And we have builded this ark so that there may be report of our deeds and of the fulfillment of the trust. Now I, Lamarian, the last of the billions who lived here, do lie me down into that last sleep, from which, if thou will, I shall awake unto the land which is thine. Hail, O great one, from the descendants of Alan and Eva, hail and farewell.
Good Lord, what was that?
And the Eva, Dr. Wensler, where are they?
They are beyond your reach.
What do you mean?
Don't you understand? All time is relative. 1 year of our time is one revolution of the planet Earth about the sun. Somewhere down in the microcosmos, my son and his wife found themselves in an atomic universe.
Of course.
And landed upon an electronic planet. That planet whirled around its sun, the nucleus of an atom, a million times in the space of a second. Our second.
Dr. Wensler, what are you trying to say?
That voice we heard is the voice of a human being, the last member of a race whose blood is mine. For in the space of 10 seconds of our time, Alan and Eva settled upon their microcosmic planet and bore sons and daughters and a great and peaceful race that lived and died beyond infinity. And my children, Alan and Eva, who founded that race, are dead and gone. 10 million years ago. 10 seconds ago.
Tonight, Dimension X has presented Beyond Infinity, an original radio drama written by Vierre Gerson. Featured in the cast were Les Damon as Arnold, Lotta Stavitsky as Eva, E.A. Krumschmidt as Dr. Wensler, and Joe DeSantis as Alan Wensler. Your narrator was Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King. In a moment, we'll tell you about next week's show. And now, here is your Wheaties man, Frank Martin.
This is Ed Prentice batting for Frank Martin to bring you a word from a fellow most of you know. Lucius, would you step over here, please?
You bet, Ed. Folks, I'm Lou Kaplan. I've been playing shortstop for the Chicago White Sox practically forever.
Yes, it is practically forever. This makes your 20th season, Luke. Do you think it's going to be a permanent job?
Well, you know, Ed, I play baseball like I eat Wheaties. Just get set and plow right through. Wheaties and baseball just seem to go together. The Wheaties give me the energy to play more baseball, and a tough game gives me the appetite to eat more Wheaties. I think it's a real nice arrangement.
Well, Mr. Appling, if you're happy, so are we. Thanks a million to our real Wheaties champion, Luke Appling.
And folks, if you haven't had the pleasure of Wheaties lately, have some tomorrow. Wheaties, breakfast of champions. And eat happy.
Next week, a strange story of other worlds. The story of the barbaric Potters of Thirst. Another adventure into the unknown world of tomorrow. The world of...
Dimension X.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen tomorrow night to Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
This program is transcribed. Stay tuned for Stories of the Underworld by Jack Late on NBC.
Creative outlet. How on earth can I channel everything that's inside of me?
You know you can do that at CITR and Discorder, right?
Pardon me?
Yeah, you can illustrate for Discorder magazine or take photographs of events and artists, and they can teach you how to use Photoshop in their media lab.
That is so exhilarating. It fills my soul with lightning.
Yeah, just email volunteer at CITR.ca and they can help you get started or just come into the station whenever.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense.
Dimension X.
When man first crossed the vast distances of outer space to land on strange worlds, he found that someone had been there before him. The ruined canals of Mars, the smashed cities of Titan and Centaurus 2 and 3, all these were evidence that 100,000 years ago, a race of intelligent beings built their cities across the galaxy. They knew space travel, atomic power, astrophysics, and engineering. And then they destroyed themselves completely, so that of all the cities on 1,000 worlds, only dust and rubble remained. Why? Why did these beings obliterate all record of themselves? That is the mystery of the lost race. The freighter Carillia, bound out of Earth for Cetus Alpha 2, came into normal flight after 103 days in overdrive. The stars were unfamiliar. The constellations known on Earth had disappeared. But there was a yellow sun off to port, and about it revolved three planets.
What do you make of it, Briggs?
It isn't on any of the star charts, Captain Wharton. I checked through.
One and three are dead, all right. I have to take a closer look at number two. Turn up the vision scale. Polar ice caps. She's green around the belt. Let's take her down to a 5-mile orbit. Swing around her for a look. Alert for deceleration.
Aye, sir.
Throw in the manuals. Power room.
Power room, aye.
We're going down to have a look at something. Give us just enough power to keep her under control. All right, Briggs. Hang on to your stomach.
You sent for me, Captain Wharton?
Come in, Mr. Howell.
Do you mind if I sit down?
Free fall sickness?
Well, I'm afraid I'm not an old space hand. Oh.
We'll level out in a minute.
Do you want something?
Yes. We come out of overdrive, smack in the middle of a new planetary system. Briggs says it's unreported.
Well, that's rather good news, isn't it?
Depends. Chris reports pretty common. But we'll stake a claim on her. In case there are any mineral discoveries.
Well, I meant the possibility of archaeological finds.
I'm afraid I'll leave that to you, Mr. Howell. You're the expert. Coming up five, Captain. Level off. Hang on, Howell. Power room. Hold her steady, she goes. We'll orbit at slow cruising speed. All right. Clear the scope, Briggs.
Aye, sir.
Nice looking piece of real estate. Well, the space guard requires I check up for radioactives, gold, and lost race rooms.
You're landing?
Landing. I've got a schedule to keep, Mr. Howell. I can't sit down on every lump of dirt I run into. We'll do a spectroscope check, and I figured you'd spot any ruins.
All right. Wait a minute.
Hmm?
There in the lower quadrant.
What?
That bald spot in the vegetation. Those are ruins, all right.
Are you sure, Hal?
Yes. I've seen the Lost Grace rubble on Centaurus II. There. You can see it plainly, dust and rubble.
Oh, that's what I get for calling in an expert. Briggs, stand by to take it down to 5,000 feet.
Aye, sir.
All this thinking luck. There goes my schedule. Seen enough, Howell? This is going to set me back 5 hours.
Interesting. Wait a minute.
What's wrong?
I don't believe it. Marvelous. Incredible.
Stop sputtering, Howell. What is it?
Look over that rise in the ground. It's a section of the city still standing.
Hey, you're right.
That hill must have shielded it from the blast. Captain, you've got to land.
Land?
You've got to. This is the first Lost Race site that's ever been spotted. Of course, you'll land.
Howell, we get a $1,000 bonus for every day under par for the run.
But you don't understand. It's the biggest find in the century.
We can chart it, and you'll have to get back somehow. But that's all. I'm not sitting down to rake over old dust heaps.
Captain Wharton, I'm on commission to the Space Guard. You may have to answer to them.
I'll think up one. Look, Howell, strictly speaking, you're a passenger.
Well, you've got
you
to land.
You don't belong in the bridge. I'm not landing down there unless...
Emergency from the power room. Something must have blown.
Power room. Power room. Danton, what's wrong down there? Danton.
He doesn't answer.
Anything serious, Captain?
He reaches the fuel locker. That 5 pounds of ascending will go and kick us right out of space. Danton. Danton.
Power room, aye.
What happened? What blew?
Main tube coupling. She's secured.
What's
now.
The damage?
The main tube's burnt out. The bearing, the coupling, the injector valve, and the needle gauge.
Can you make repairs?
Not in flight.
Can you raise enough power to land?
I don't know, Captain. The wiring's shot. He's fat like a tomcat. I might be able to get something from the deceleration auxiliaries.
Get a jury rig on her. We'll try to set her down.
Aye, sir.
Briggs.
Yes, sir.
Alert for crash landing. Signal room. Signal room.
Signal, aye.
Langston, get off a position fix and SOS standby.
Aye, sir.
Well, Mr. Howell, I guess you're going to join your friends in the Lost Race. I just hope it's not permanently.
Leveled off now, Captain.
Trim her up a point. That's it.
She's bucking bad.
5 more minutes and the hull plates will shake loose. Power room. Stand by for bar blast on signal.
All ready.
I'm going to try for that clearing.
Too narrow.
Two to one for a dollar. All right. Hang on.
Briggs! Briggs!
Oh,
you all right?
I hit my head on the panel.
Well,
I seem to be ill. All assembled.
Well, we're down. Guess our luck hasn't run out yet. Calling power room.
Power room, aye.
All right down there?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Danton, I want a complete damage check and repair estimate. Get up here as soon as you got it for me. Briggs, you all right now?
Yes, sir, I guess so.
As soon as we get Danton's report, get a detail aft. Help him with repairs.
Captain Wharton.
What is it, Langston?
My speaker line's out. Sending circuits blew.
Spare tubes?
That was a pretty rough landing, Captain. They're gone. I can't replace them this side of Lunar Space Station.
I see. Well, the SOS ought to do it. And the Space Guard monitor reports our
they
position...
They aren't going to, Captain.
Why not?
Sending circuits went out when the blast went off down there. I didn't get the SOS out.
Thank you, Langston. Get back and see what you can salvage.
Does that mean bad news?
We were in overdrive, Mr. Howell. It would take 40 years to search the distance we've traveled in one day. Consequently, when a ship doesn't make port and doesn't transmit a position fix, they forget about it.
Oh. I see.
And with the radio out, we blast off on our own power. Or we don't get off.
I got your damage report, Captain.
Well?
Here. It's on a B-23 checklist.
Not bad?
Worse.
Danton, how long will it take you for repairs?
I don't know.
An estimate.
I ain't no gypsy fortune teller.
How about the lifeboat?
For deep space? What are they teaching at Sands Point now? Basket weaving?
Denton,
lifeboat couldn't lift half a light year off this here mud heap.
Denton, I'll take just so much.
Look, can it be converted to Bessendium Drive?
The converter links were mashed when we came down.
How long is it going to take you to repair the main drive?
Look, Captain, I got two hands. You want me to hold a lug wrench in my teeth?
See here, Denton.
You see here, Captain. The whole lousy crew's been spitting all over me ever since we blasted off. Now you can all wait on me.
Who do you think you are, Denton?
The only power man on this ship, that's who. Ain't satisfied with the way I'm working, go hire yourself another boy. The woods are lousy with him. I'll take my own sweet time.
What's the matter with him? Got a bug in his ear?
Space fatigue, Captain. He's been locked up in the power room 4 days.
Oh, we don't have enough trouble. Briggs, remind me to slug the psychotechnician when we get back. Don't tell me nobody gets into deep space who isn't emotionally stable.
What are you going to do about him, Captain?
Nothing. Stay off his back.
Oh, but you can't.
Captain's the only man who can get us out of here. We want to hit the cradle at New York spaceport again. We've got to keep him happy.
Captain Wharton, as long as we're landed and we do have to wait for the engines to be fixed, I suppose we can explore the lost race ruins. I'm particularly...
Look, Mr. Howell, I can't spare the men. We are now stuck tight until Denton gets those engines fixed. And if he can't, which is entirely possible, we are stuck, period.
Oh.
Briggs, I want you to keep a careful eye on the men. Space fatigue is nothing compared to what we might run up against now.
Captain Wharton. Captain, I've got it.
Is there any circuits?
No, no, sir, but I picked up the incoming video band.
Well, that's something. Can you get the mail call through? The men could use a little lift right now.
Well, the scheduled one-way personals are due at 2330 Greenwich.
Good. That ought to help morale. Langston, rig the receiving booth.
Aye, sir.
Howell, this is a break. Seeing the folks at home may be enough to keep everybody on an even keel. I know I'll be glad to see that kid of mine.
Mr. Langston, get Hanson out of the booth. You wear the glass right off the tube.
Ah, take it easy, Williams. Everybody gets 3 minutes.
Hey, Kelly, I bet that dame of yours burned up the circuits, huh?
How'd you know it was his girl? You can't tell through the booth.
Well, who else would call that ape? What'd you say, Kelly?
Oh, nothing. She don't have to. She just stands in front of the pickup tube and, oh, brother.
I can just see that.
Hey, it's a boy.
A boy.
Alice had a boy. Well, they're going to show him to me in the circuit tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Who's next, Mr. Langston?
The last call's coming through now on ticker. It's for Williams.
Well,
hey, wait a minute, Williams.
Well, let go of my arm.
What happened to my call?
No call today, Dan.
You're a liar, Langston.
Hey.
My girl calls on every scheduled circuit. That must be mine.
Now let go, Dad. Maybe Janie was busy waiting tables in the lunchroom.
What do you know about her, Hanson?
You kidding? She's a swell kid. Everybody at New York Spaceport knows her.
Yeah, I've seen you hanging around Jane, too.
Now, wait a minute, Denton.
Take it easy, Denton.
You and Williams made this up between you, didn't you? You're going to take my call, huh, Williams?
You're space happy.
You used to hang around with her before I cut you out.
Now listen, Denton, you were lucky enough to get her. Let well enough alone.
You bet I got her all right, and you're not going to steal her back. Williams, I'm going to...
Are you crazy? Denton! Get him off!
I'm lying.
Get him off!
Hey, what's going on in here?
Let him fight!
I'm going to kill you, you...
Double-crush him.
Behind my back.
Grab him, Hanson. Get
his arm. Let go of me.
Nobody took your call.
Now,
calm down,
Denton.
Look out. He's got a wrench.
Denton. He's nuts. Nobody gets a call. Nobody. How do you like that, Williams? You ain't gonna hear from Janie no more. How do you like that?
After him. Kelly. Hanson.
The airlock. He's left the ship.
Let him go, the jealous screwball.
Sure. But that's the only man who can get us off of here. I warned you, so help me, Briggs. I warned you to keep an eye on Denton.
Well, I didn't think he'd go off this way.
Well, it's that girl of his, sir. He's crazy jealous about her.
Any reason for it, Williams?
No, sir. She's a good kid. Too good for Denton. I guess he's just so afraid of losing her to some other guy... He's getting psychopathic about it.
Well, we've got to get him back. I want every man equipped and ready for search parties immediately.
Aye, sir.
Williams, rig some portable searchlights and issue hand blasters and radiation tickers. Kelly.
Aye, sir.
You head the second party. If you find Denton, send up a signal flare.
Aye, sir.
Unless we do find him, we'll be on this planet until the next freighter stumbles on us. Maybe 10,000 years from now. Hold that light up, Hanson.
This is amazing, Captain. Lost Ray's building's actually standing.
Hey!
What is it?
Oh, it's nothing. It's shadow.
This place gives me the willies.
To be able to find out so much about them, their science, art, what they looked like, perhaps even why they destroyed themselves.
I'm beginning to wonder about that, Howell. You sure they destroyed themselves? Maybe they lost a war to another race.
The winners would have left traces. Genghis Khan, the Mongol emperor, left a pile of skulls as a monument after he destroyed his enemies. But there's been nothing like that found.
No clues at all,
nothing.
Eh?
When they decided to wipe themselves out, they did a thorough job. But why? That's what we've been asking for 50 years. They wanted to end like that.
Captain, there's a rise ahead.
Keep going. Anything on your side, Briggs?
No, sir.
Hanson, what is it?
I don't know, sir. It's a funny kind of a glow. I guess I shot without thinking.
Don't get trigger happy. Howell.
Yes, sir?
Where do you think the light is coming from?
Down there. It's an amphitheater.
Stone seats and a hood.
It looks like a band shell. What's up, Captain? Wait a minute. Well, Howell?
I don't know. That's the Lost Race sign on the hood.
The what?
A sort of hieroglyphic. The only thing we'd ever found before, one in each ruin.
What does it mean?
Some kind of a warning, I think.
Come on. We're going down there. Careful now. There's a platform of some kind down there.
Looks like a lecture platform, doesn't it?
Or an altar. This might have been a temple. Perhaps the Lost Race sign had a religious significance.
Looks like a throne to me.
A throne 5 feet high.
Briggs, climb up there and see if there are any controls for this machinery.
Aye, sir.
This wasn't meant for any man to sit on. There's a lever up here. Shall I try it?
Sure, go ahead.
Hey, what the... What's that mist? Like a steam bath. I wonder if Kelly and Williams ran into anything
Kelly,
like...
Hold that light up.
Shut up and keep looking for Danton.
What? Look there, in the hood.
It's Williams and Kelly.
That crazy jet jockey. When I find him, I'm going to beat his brains out.
You could see him, a three-dimensional image.
Some kind of television. Get down, Briggs.
Aye, sir. Did you see it, Skipper? I was just thinking about him, and there he was.
We all saw it. Out of the way. I'm going to try it. This thing can pick up Earth. It'll replace the receiver Danton smashed. Just throw the lever, eh? What? That's my son. I'll be darned. His music lesson. Say, it reaches Earth, all right. What? Imagine. Television without a transmitter.
Looks like the Lost Race was ahead of us in more ways than one.
Go up and try it, Howell.
It's amazing, amazing. Television without a transmitter. This machine may be the clue to the mystery of the Lost Race. I'll try it.
Mary, I've told you I like my paper first in the morning. If that youngster wants to know how the Tigers did, let him wait until I am...
My father in Detroit. Remarkable, Captain. You can see the whole room clearly.
Say, how about me, Captain? Let me get up there. I like to see my baby. Alice told me all about it. Out.
What's the matter, Hanson?
I kicked something, a wrench.
Well, hold it up. It's Danton's. That means he's been here. We're on his trail, all right. Come on, Howell, let's go.
But the baby, it wouldn't take a minute, Captain.
Later, Hanson. We've got to find Danton first. All right, now, let's get moving. Hold it.
What's that?
The recall flare. Kelly and his men have found Danton. Oh, I hope that crazy fool is in one piece.
We start back now, Captain.
Yes.
That came from the ship.
Another flare?
No, that was an explosion. That's all we need now. Something more to happen to the ship. Oh, it's the main jets.
Smashed flat.
Of all the stinking
rot.
Check through the ship for further damage.
Aye, sir.
Oh, look at those plates. Crumpled like an accordion.
Captain! Oh, Captain!
Here comes Kelly's party.
We got him. Got Danton. Hold it. What happened here?
Somebody blew up the main jets. Fenton, do you know anything about this?
No, sir.
Not much, he doesn't. He's crazy enough to blow us all up.
Listen, Hanson, I admit I went off my head tonight, but I'm not crazy enough to commit suicide. The jets are smashed, we're all marooned up the same creek.
I still think he's got something to do with it.
Lay off, Hanson. We found him wandering up in the hills. And he was with us when the blast went off.
Yes, that's right. We saw your recall flare before the explosions. Oh, I guess that puts Stanton in the clear.
Then who did it, Captain?
I don't know, Hal. Looks like somebody didn't want us to leave this planet. Well, we still got one slim chance left. If we can repair the lifeboat...
Skipper, it's gone.
Gone?
The escape port is open. The boat's missing.
What? Oh, what else?
The arms chest was cleaned out, sir, and the fuel locker was jimmied open. The descendium bars are gone.
You sure?
You can look for yourself, sir. She's clean.
I see. There's only one answer left. There's something or somebody out in those ruins trying to get us. Maybe that lost race decided they weren't going to stay lost.
You think some of them may still be alive?
Who else could have blown up our ship? Keep your blaster up, Hal. And be careful. It's a hair trigger.
What are we doing back at the television machine, Captain? I thought we were looking for the lifeboat.
We are. Whoever blew up the ship must be around here. Might as well try to use the machine to track them down.
Yeah. Catch them with their own gadget, huh?
That's right. All right, Hal, you're the expert. Get up there and try to find them.
I hope it works.
Well?
Trying, Captain.
Nothing but mist.
I don't understand it. It reached all the way to Earth before I saw my father in Detroit.
Mary, my paper's all rumpled again.
What the?
There it is again. Father in Detroit.
I've told him time and time again, I don't like a messy paper.
Look at that. No selector control, yet all the way to Earth. You can see the whole room, the goldfish bowl, the antimacassars on the chairs. Yet we can't pick up something less than a mile away.
Knock it off, Hal. We're wasting time. Come on. That gadget won't work. We'll have to comb these rooms inch by inch.
I don't understand.
Neither do I. Cut behind the hood here and go on. Briggs, you take the lead with the radiation ticker. We might be able to pick up a reading on where the rocket fuel is hidden.
Aye, sir.
All right, let's go.
I can't understand why that machine can pick up Earth and not...
Help, Captain!
Briggs, what is it?
Captain, help! I'm falling!
It's a cave-in. Hang on, Briggs.
I'm slipping, Captain.
Grab his wrist.
All right. Now pull. Pull. Higher.
What happened?
I was just walking along and the ground caved in.
What? It's some kind of shaft. Hold your light over it, Captain. Oh!
50 feet deep in a stone bottom. I could have split my head open like a grapefruit.
Something down there. Hold that light steady. Amazing. Amazing.
Looks like a pile of bones to me. Two piles.
It may be the first skeletal remains ever found of the lost race. I've got to get down in there.
We haven't got time, Howell. Come on.
Let me have your binoculars. Wonderful. That small skeleton must be an infant. They've been laid out carefully. It's a burial chamber. The way they're lying, it's probably a mother and infant. Yeah? The tail, she's definitely anthropoid.
Howell, you mean apes?
Something like that. Yet they had atomic power and built cities across the galaxy. Amazing.
Oh, we haven't got time.
Hello, that's funny. The little one is different. The caudal bones are different. No tail.
Listen, Hal. What do I care whether they have tails or not? Come on now.
It's almost as if... Well, they did have atomics, and radiation does funny things to heredity. They had that problem of mutations in Detroit. Well, Detroit. That must be it.
What?
The new atomics plant at Detroit. They tore down my father's house to make room for it. Quickly, Captain.
Oh, where are you going?
Back to the machine. I've got a theory that may solve the whole mystery of what happened to the lost race.
I don't care what happened to the dead ones, Hal. I want to find the living ones who wrecked my ship.
I think this machine may give us both answers. There's the house, Detroit, down to the last detail.
Oh, come on, Don. We know all
but
that.
But don't you understand? That house was torn down. I got a letter before we lifted off Earth. It's gone.
But it's on the television machine.
Captain, that machine isn't television. It's a thought projector.
What?
It only mirrors what's in your own mind.
But, Mr. Howell, we saw Earth. It was really there.
But it was just because we imagined it, Briggs. It's a thought projection.
I can produce any mental image that occurs to me on this machine. New York, spaceport, a space guard patrol, anything.
Anything?
Yes. And now I think I know what inspired the lost race to do what they did. It was fear. Fear of what was in their own minds. They could all see it with machines like this.
But fear, fear of what?
They foresaw the future. So they destroyed themselves, every last one of them.
Hold it, Howe. Are you sure they're all dead?
100,000 years ago.
Then who blew up the ship and stole our lifeboat?
Danton.
Danton? But why?
He was pathologically jealous.
Yes, but blowing up the ship was like committing suicide. He wasn't crazy enough to do that.
The lost race was after they looked at this machine.
You mean Danton did too?
We found his wrench here.
You're right.
He must have looked at the machine and thought it was television. He must have seen all his fears about losing his girl confirmed. That was enough to make him completely unbalanced.
But he was with Kelly when that explosion went off. He's got an ironclad alibi. No, he hasn't. Wouldn't take a power man long to sneak back to the ship and rig a delayed action fuse. Howell, we've got to get back to the ship before Danton.
Never mind, Captain. Stay right there.
That's Danton.
In the dark. You make a perfect target there. Stop your gun. I got a blaster set at wide angle.
Drop him. He's got his cold.
I've been following you, Wharton. I wanted to tell you, I'm going back to Earth. I got the lifeboat hidden over that rise.
It won't work in deep space.
You believe me when I told you that, didn't you? Well, I've got it fixed. And with that bisendium fuel, it'll be a milk run. I'll reach the Space Guard station at Volta with a long, sad story about how the rest of you exploded in mid-space.
Danton, that's murder.
Yeah, that's just what it is. And easy, too.
Danton, you can't just leave us here.
Watch me. Sit in front of that machine and watch me. Yeah, I know what it is. I know it's a television without a transmitter. And I did some checking up. I've seen how you were stealing my call. Trying to steal my girl.
Danton, you're sick. You
pretty
can't...
Pretty smart, that lost race. They built some machine, and it showed me plenty. It showed me enough to kill you.
Oh, you've got it all wrong. This isn't a television machine.
What are you trying to pull, Wharton? I saw it.
Those were your own thoughts, Danton. Those things you saw exist only in your mind.
Shut up before I blast all of you down. You're just trying to lie out of it, that's all. But I know the truth when I see it. And you're going to die.
All right, Danton, but you're not going to get away with it. Look at the machine.
What's that?
The machine. It's the Space Guard patrol, Danton. Look, they're coming.
X-3 to command. Spotted the Corellias, reported. Preparing to land.
That's the Space Guard, Danton.
Yeah, whole patrol.
You're lying. They couldn't come. There wasn't any SOS.
X-3 to command. Preparing to land. There's the clearing.
That's enough, Howell. All right, Danton. They'll be coming over the horizon. Drop your gun and give yourself up.
No. They're not going to catch me. I'll be away in that lifeboat before they land. Stay still, all of you. Stay where you are.
Danton.
I still got you covered.
Danton, look out behind you.
The burial shaft. He fell in it. Hold the light down, Briggs. Well?
He's dead. Deader than the lost race. And what about those Space Guard cruisers?
Out of my head. I just imagined them, and there they were on the machine. Poor Danton believed they were real.
I wish they were real so we could get off this planet. No, it doesn't matter. We know where the lifeboat is now. We can send one man to bring back help. And it won't be Danton.
The machine got him the same way it got the lost race. Through fear.
But what was the lost race afraid of, Howell?
Changing.
Changing?
Look at those skeletons down there. They had atomic energy, but they couldn't control it. Look. The baby's different from the other. The race was changing by mutation.
Mutation?
Look at those skeletons. Now imagine a shifted hip socket so they could walk upright. The baby was already without a tail.
But Howell... That would mean they were changing into...
Yes, Captain. The lost race committed suicide rather than face the fear of seeing their descendants become such horrible creatures as men.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is
An advertisement for Finding the Funny on CITR 101.9 Mondays 6 to 6:30. We'd love for you to tune in and check us out on Twitter at Finding Funny FM. Every week, host Nico McEwen talks about new comedy topics, whether it be stand-up, sketch comedy, TV comedy, and more, always playing some of the most hilarious bits with your host, Nico McEwen.
And that's all the time we have for Skull.